Hi, I'm a helpful Southern California Honda person, and recently we've been doing random acts of helpfulness, like donating shoes to children in need and helping a music therapy facility with new instruments. And we can help you too with a great deal on an award-winning Honda, like the all-new and completely redesigned Accord, a car and driver 10 best a record 32 times. Click the dealer locator link to find a dealer near you and go to SoCalHondaDealers.com to suggest a random act of helpfulness for someone you know. Car and driver, January 2018.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Talking Pictures, first episode of January. Thank you for bearing with us. I had some health issues and wanted to give my 100%. We're here today with
Russ Emanuel.
And Russell is a director we've had on before for his film The Occupants, which he was at Comic-Con. And he was kind enough to come on air and take his time. And I know Comic-Con's craziness, so please Google and check out that episode. Russell, what would you like to start with today?
Well, first, thank you for having me on again and in studio.
Yes, of course.
Pretty surreal, so thank you. I do appreciate that. Whatever you want me to talk about, I mean, I'm just grateful that you're having me on the air.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. This is, as you see, our first live episode, and this is kind of cool because we, for our listeners and new listeners, we have guests from just all over the country. So to have a guest that lives a couple miles away and be able to have the opportunity to talk in the studio instead of me just saying I'm in the studio is really cool. So maybe what we'll do is before we jump into Russell's films, if briefly you just want to take a moment or two to tell us about something great that you've seen lately, since we are in award season. And
Something that I've seen recently. I've been watching my own films, but recent, you know, Lady Bird. I saw Lady Bird with my friend Troy Gabaldon, who I'm shouting out because he's sick right now.
Okay.
And Troy is the producer writer of Collar, is the film. I'll talk about Collar.
Okay.
But we saw Lady Bird, and I'm gonna tell you this: I have something called Movie Pass. I don't know if you have it, but it works. It is phenomenal. Because I remember seeing The Last Jedi on opening night,
right.
And I got in, and it was $13. And the pass is, what, $9.99 per month? So
right.
Shout out to them, because I've been seeing a lot of movies. Lady Bird was great.
You know, that's I'm laughing that you mentioned that, because our associate producer, Erin, I think once a week, she says to me, I don't know why you don't have Movie Pass. And so she's going to like that a guest brought that up. That's why I have Prime. And there's a guest who I always want to foot the bill, because I've had Prime for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the, you know, you get into buying all those channels.
Yeah.
And then I just want to tell the guest, you're the one who got me into this. So, you know, do you want to pay for it? You know, not literally, but, you know. I'm just like, you know, the expense sheet was different before you, like, told me I have to have it. But Lady Bird, were, you know, we've had some guests that have said, that have asked me, because they know we're uncensored and we're not owned and we're not going to get into the controversy. But could you just comment on what you think has a director of the directing? And we're not going to get into the whole...
Well, I'll tell you this. There's this one scene in the film, and it's with Laurie Metcalf, and she's driving away from the airport. I can't give it away, but...
Right. We'll put it this way. Yeah, go ahead.
It was so heartfelt, and she wasn't saying anything. Laurie does it.
Right.
But my God, that's like one of many scenes that exemplifies the movie, but it just really... It tugs at you. So, you know, I hope it does well at the Oscars.
Yeah, it's for me, I lived in Sacramento for 4 years. So the film was completely different, because I was able to, when they would reference certain things, I knew it. What I want to say about, you know, the scene he's talking about is, I, you know, those scenes when nothing's being said, again, silent film is, you know, that's where it's at. But, there was this one thing that's just as influential as what you were, or not as influential, what you were saying was they did such a good job because there was like five establishing shots. Mm-hmm. And the places they picked were actually how the characters were feeling. And I've never seen a film where establishing shots were, the fact is Lady Bird is so, you know, it's like the biggest political issue right now. But I had never even thought of that as a concept of we're going to save the establishing shots for how the characters are feeling. And I'll share something on air here very quickly. They showed one bar, and I'm not afraid to say I had an alcohol problem in my 20s, and it was a bar that I used to go and drink at.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I just was floored and knew that I was kind of, and I've never had an establishing shot floor me with a film,
yeah,
because they're,
yeah,
just supposed to, you know, say, hey, we're here.
We're here.
And I thought, who, either the location manager deserves an Oscar, or there was really some, it was kind of out of body, because I just thought, wow, like the thing that was so cinematic was a bar. And again, we're not laughing at alcohol or the disease. So, but Lady Bird, definitely recommend it. And for me, it was a film, and I just want to hear this last perspective from you, Russell, on it. It was a film that kind of, I almost feel like it grows. Like you watch it and then you start to notice things more. I think that's why they're talking about the directing of it. I don't think you get it all in the first viewing. No,
you're correct. In fact, for certain films, I would like to watch it over and over,
right,
because you will miss something. You know, I meant, just if you're talking about, let's say, Occupants, the one that I directed, I subtly put stuff in there that it's going to be impossible to see,
right,
on the first viewing. So yeah, you just to be able to immerse yourself in it. But I'll tell you one thing, you're mentioning politics and all that.
Right.
At first, when I heard the name Lady Bird, I thought it was about Lady Bird Johnson.
Yes.
And it's not.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Obviously, it's not about our former president.
Right, right.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I thought that too, because they had just put out Woody Harrelson and LBJ.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, the marketing wheels are spinning. And also, we want to let people know that don't. We had Rachel Morrison, ASC, who just became the first woman to get an ASC nomination. And they're usually the Oscar nomination, so she could be the first cinematographer to receive an Oscar nomination. Rachel came on the show, and of course she could not say a word about Black Panther because it's a Marvel movie. But when she said it was, when I saw that it was Black Panther, I thought it was a Huey P. Newton movie. I was like, yeah, man, like I love it. I love history. I love Huey P. Newton. I'm like, this is awesome. And then I heard it was Marvel, and I was like, oh. So we did talk about that, and she did say how her family was like, you're going to do a Huey P. Newton movie? Go in the archives, check that out. Rachel is totally fantastic. So, Russell, what film would you like to start out with? Russell, I don't know. Your films.
Well, I guess a little background on me,
yeah,
if you like. So I've been making films, I guess professional films, if you will, since about 2003, 2002. And it was the film, it's a short film called Girl with Gun. And Girl with Gun, we're talking about Comic-Con, actually premiered at Comic-Con.
Okay.
So, you know, and that was a real surreal experience. But Girl with Gun is an action film. I just did another action film with Robert Picardo and Marina Sirtis called Assassin's Apprentice, so I'll talk about that too. But that one basically, I guess, got me on the map in the sense that it just went everywhere. And it was really surreal. And because of that film, I met my future producer, Howard Nash. And Howard and I have done five feature films together.
Okay.
And that's PJ, which stars the late John Hurd. Chasing the Green, which has Jeremy London, Ryan Hurst, and William Devane, and Legends of Nephiah, which has Robert Picardo in the main role. And Robert Picardo, by the way, I've worked with him for six films now. So, and then we did Occupants. Occupants with Robert Picardo, with Brianna White, Michael Pugliasi, and that really just, that film is really, really taken off. And
where can people watch it?
You can watch it on Amazon Prime.
Yes, Amazon Prime. You don't have anyone to charge like me. Go ahead.
You could actually watch PJ and Chasing the Green on Amazon Prime also.
Oh, okay.
So then right now we're in post-production on our fifth feature film together, and it's called Whisper. Yeah. You can go to whisperproject.com. You can go to my website, Russem Productions, at russem.com, russem.com, and you could see all the films.
what was the title on that second one?
The second one? Was it
PJ? The one that was on Prime?
Oh, PJ, Chasing the Green, and Occupants.
PJ, yeah.
It's actually, our distributor put a tagline, PJ, A Journey of the Heart, because if you type PJ, there's a 1968 film with that title.
Okay.
In order to differentiate.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm gonna take a second here while I look this up. PJ Chasing.
Well,
you
PJ
know,
and Chasing the Green are two different films.
Chasing the Green is on Prime?
Yeah, that's on Prime also.
Okay. Yeah this is cool. Okay. Now normally. Oh, yeah. This. Yeah, you know what? This is, we gotta.
I would love to cash the green too.
What I like, okay, here's what I like about the show that I don't know if I told Russell. I like the aspect that we can. I don't want to say f around. And okay, yeah. So you can find Chasing the Green. What I wanted to ask you about, and I won't get too far off point because you said something really. Jeremy London, and that's Randall Pink Floyd, right?
Randall Pink Floyd?
From Dazed and Confused?
You mean Jeremy?
Yeah.
I think so. Or is it not his twin brother?
Yeah, see, you know what?
There's Jason and Jeremy.
Yeah, I know that, yeah, because I remember, one owned the 90s for Dazed and Confused.
He was in Mallrats. I remember that. He was also on, that show, oh, come on.
He was on, he was famous for it. See, because all this makes me think of high school, because he was on this big, Jason London was on a big
Party of Five.
Yes.
No, that was Jeremy. Jeremy was in Party of Five and More.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, and no offense, he ate at one of my father's restaurants one time, and he was, again, no offense, because you know him, he was frustrated that we asked him his name. And partially it's because we don't care who celebrities are, like, because we're their people. And so, but he was kind of like, took it as a, okay, yeah, so that's the brother. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I grew up, oh, that's awesome. It's on one of his most known. Let me ask
cool.
a quick question. Yeah, I was going to say, how does that feel as a director that you look up somebody on IMDb and they're, their most known work is linked to you.
It's surreal. I mean, look, it was an honor to work with these actors. It was an incredible experience. We shot that in New York. I was a second time feature film director at that point. In fact, I celebrated my 30th birthday on set.
The
producer, Howard, he had a pineapple cake for me. And then I remember Jeremy was there. Heather McComb was in it. She was there. Ryan was there,
okay.
The extras, it was really surreal. And then I remember getting these stale ding dongs also. I got a gummy hand, I think, but it was so cool.
Yeah.
So, it's very surreal. And I'm just very humbled that, and grateful that, I'm at this point. But you see people like Howard Nash, and I got to mention Emile Harris. Emile Harris, is my DP and editor for Occupants, for Whisper, for a lot of projects. He's been editing pretty much all my films, including Chasing the Green.
So you guys know he didn't say Emile Hirsch.
No, not Emile Hirsch.
So quick listeners, we have some listeners, and I don't mind at all, because I don't expect people to stop their lives, but some people have told me they put it on and you know, they do something or they listen while they're driving, not like it's, you know, like on their speaker.
I do tend to speak fast, so.
No, oh, no, no, no. Quick listener. Quick, yeah, yeah, no, quick listener.
Not so, Emil Hirsch.
Yeah, yeah. So please know Emil Hirsch is not the cinematographer.
Yeah. So,
good.
But Emil Harris, yeah. Like right now, he just did the second cut of Whisper. And I was so floored that it was good. I mean, his editing is just incredible. He's won a lot of awards for editing for Occupants. I mean, this guy is incredible. So, you know, people like him, people like Howard, I mean, I can go on and on. Chump Bohemian, our sound designer, he's now working on The Assassin's Apprentice. And we're going to do a sound mix, final sound mix in early February.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we have like Vasilis Melessas, our composer, you know, just Robert Picardo.
Right.
And it's just to have these people take a chance on somebody like me, you know, it's very emotional because they didn't have to, you know, right. Howard didn't have to take a chance on me. John Hurd, you know, rest in peace. He didn't have to take a chance on me for PJ.
Right.
And to direct him and people like Vincent Pastore and Robert Picardo. And, you know, I mean, it's just,
well, plus and John Hurd, so much, he has so much more work, but of course.
Than me, look, I was this 29-year-old director,
right.
And then being directing this veteran, I mean, it's just.
Well, I mean, that's like.
I mean, if you ever seen Cutter's Way, I mean, he played a paraplegic, because it was like he had a.
I mean, John Hurd, I think, you know.
It was amazing.
Everybody just thinks of him as the dad in Home Alone.
No, he's a lot more than that.
But he has so much more. I mean, he's even nominated for an Emmy. Let's see what that's for. You know,
The Sopranos.
You know, it's kind of funny because one of our executive producers is like utterly hooked on that show. It's all they talk about now. This executive producer spends movie time with me. And since they discovered The Sopranos, they... movie night has been canceled for a long time. So so it's kind of like, damn you, Sopranos. Like, I used to like to sit and talk about movies with my EP, and now we get this. So
I think they use more profanity than damn on that.
right. Well, we're definitely a show. We've had, I would say, maybe a 30% of guests, because one of the things I definitely pride myself on, I want people to say what they want. So if a bad word comes out, I'm not going to cut it out. I'm not going to go to the sound editor. I think right now, allow me 10 seconds on my soapbox. Obviously, freedom of speech is under, not attack. It is under attack. Freedom of press. We're not, you know.
The Post. I just saw The Post.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's not a perfect film, but it was a really good film. And
oh, I'm going to see that this weekend.
Yeah, it's a Spielberg film, Steven Spielberg.
Right.
And one reason I also watch it is because I like John Williams. And John Williams is the composer of the film. Now, John Williams is the reason I became a filmmaker. When I listened to his score for Richard Donner's Superman, that really hooked me. And then I remember the scene in the helicopter in Jurassic Park. They're approaching the island, which I guess technically, they filmed in Hawaii.
Yeah,
there
they filmed on the island I'm from. I know people that worked on it, and
But that scene with the music and the acting and the cinematography, and then there's like, here's the island, here's Jurassic Park, and you can hear the music, and it just really hooked me. So, you know, I've been a lifelong John Williams fan. I am so happy that he's still going to do episode 9 of Star Wars.
Right.
He's going to work on Indiana Jones 5. I mean, the guy's 85.
Right.
Years old, and he's still. And his there's this one cue in The Last Jedi, which, you know, not a perfect film, but this one cue called The Battle of Crait, and there's a section in it, because I can't spoil it, but let's say that, you know, the certain group was very desperate.
Right.
So the way he used the strings in this 1 minute segment, you can feel that desperation.
Right.
And to have somebody who's 85 years old be able to write that type of music, he's a genius. I mean, this guy is the Mozart and Beethoven of our era. And
I'm
so happy he's still around.
Well, I like that you're saying Superman got you into film, because I got into film from seeing Superman at my father's film history class.
Nice.
And since then, it's just been like everything film, and I was watching movies I shouldn't have watched when I was a little kid, because I had an older brother, so I shouldn't have been like 7 years old and I had seen Risky Business and Revenge of the Nerds and, you know, wondering why I liked some of those scenes, you know, when you're six or seven and you're thinking, why is Rebecca De Mornay so pretty? But it's really interesting that you say that, because John Williams, Lady Bird. The whole thing is where I think he's a genius is you really have to kind of stop and think is with Star Wars, Superman, and Indiana Jones. How can I put it? They're almost the same score. Mm-hmm. He just moves the bum 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 bum. You can easily transfer. You know, like Darth Vader can easily be turned into the Indiana Jones score. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's so brilliant about him is that he's had three of, I mean, people that hate movies know those scores.
Well, you could just listen to that.
Right, exactly.
Just right off the bat.
Right, and Superman. Boom, boom, boom.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, Jaws, right.
Right. You know, it's Superman. So that's the brilliance of John Williams.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a Harry Potter. I think a lot of millennials probably grew up with Harry
Potter. Right,
right. That's it.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, and that's what I think is, I mean, that can be carried over to so many other musicians. I mean, you hear one chord and all they did was just kind of tweak it, you know, Clapton or B.B. King or...
Well, even James Horner with Titanic.
Yes.
Titanic, or Jerry Goldsmith with the Star Trek.
Right, chorus. Yes. Oh, just... Jerry Goldsmith, yeah, oh.
Yeah.
So, let's see. You mentioned that film and... I just get so wrapped up in talking film. I did not mean to forget that film you said we were going to discuss.
A Whisper? Okay. So I guess getting back on track, because I also... I'm going off track myself.
Right, I love
film and film music and all that. But so after Occupants, you see Occupants, it won the Best Sci-Fi Feature Award at Shriekfest. And then they also screened at Comic-Con. But when we won that award, the festival director, Denise Gossett, I mean, she is just such a wonderful person. I was really, really, I was floored. I mean, I did not think we had a chance of winning because there was some other, we basically... our budget was like, five figures, and we're up against this other film, and they were like $1 million. And this was a good film. It was a really good film. I watched it. It was called Telios, but now it's they changed the title on Amazon, but you can watch it. And it's a really good film. So I said, no, we don't have a chance. And when we won, I'm like, what?
Right, it's impossible.
So since then,
since then,
it's basically accelerated. I mentioned Troy. And Troy, I hope you're feeling better. But Troy Gabaldon, I met at the Downtown Los Angeles Film Festival, and then again at Shriekfest. And he offered to hire me to direct Collar. And the Collar is a film that, I can't give it away. But, you know, it had Denise in it, too.
Right.
Sean Gunnell, Michael Ray, Denise Gossett, and Jennifer Durst. And... we just won the special audience award at this festival called the Hell Chess Festival in Madrid, I think it was. And it's a take on Catholicism. So, and religion and all that. So that I'm going, and you got to see, it's controversial. But
excellent.
The script
I love
was
controversy.
Really well done. And it's a pilot episode already written. So he has ideas of stretching it out. And that's one reason I said, yeah, sure. But that I would direct it, but he offered me to direct it, and this guy's a director himself, and you know how humbling that is?
Yeah.
I mean, he paid me, and it's...
You already paid me.
But it's because of Occupants, and then
right.
One of our Indiegogo investors for Occupants was Paul Hickman, and again, he hired me to do The Assassin's Apprentice, which is a sizzle reel, like Collar. They're both 15 minutes long, and they had Tara Page. Tara Page is a renowned stunt actress, like in Alice in Wonderland. I think she was in that Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen, and basically she's a star role in The Assassin's Apprentice. She plays Kaylee, and it also has Robert Picardo again. I said that I worked with him 6 times, and Marina Sirtis. And Marina Sirtis, I grew up watching her on The Next Generation. She counseled Troy on Star Trek The Next Generation. So for me, The Next Generation was my Star Trek surreal to be able to direct actors of that caliber. You know? And again, I was hired by Paul Hickman. Just like Troy Gilbaldon hired me for Collar, he hired me for Assassin's Apprentice. Collar's done. It's been done since the summer of last year, so now it's in the festival route.
Right.
And our next screening is the local one, Huntington Beach Film Festival.
Oh, okay.
So it will screen there, and then it will screen in Idlewild. So coming up right now. And I'm prepping material for all of that.
And you were at that, correct?
Oh, yeah. Last year I was at Idlewild and also Huntington Beach, but it was called the SoCal Independent Film Festival.
Oh, it's not Huntington Beach?
Yeah, it is. They changed the name.
Oh.
But it's still the same festival.
Oh, okay.
And it's at the Huntington Beach Library. So it's not that far away. I think it's on Talbert.
Right.
So Collar's done. But Assassin's Apprentice, we're doing a final sound mix on February 10th, I think, is when we're going to do it. And basically the visuals are done. Everything's done except for the sound. So we're very close. And to our supporters, and when I say supporters, I mean our donors.
Right.
Indiegogo, I apologize, it's been taking so long, but it is almost done.
Right.
And you will be able to see it. I trust me. Please, crossing fingers.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they, again, you know, Paul and Troy, they took a chance on me because of Occupants and what it did at, like, Shriek Fest and these other festivals. I mean, we've been screening in, like, 10 countries. Just festivals. I'm not talking distribution. We have distribution.
Right.
I'm just talking, we won like 40 plus awards.
Right.
We screened at like 70 or 80 venues. We've been in 29 states.
Right.
I mean, it's very surreal what has been able to happen. And also because of that, then Howard was able to get the funding for our fifth feature film I mentioned, Whisper. And Whisper we shot in New York and New Jersey in July of last year. And I saw the second cut. And I'm very convinced we have a film, a really good film, because I was laughing at the right moments. I was like tear-jerked at, you know, sad moments. It's basically if you go to whisperproject.com, you could see this, but it's a crime thriller. It's based on a true story. And it's about this father and his family was murdered.
Oh,
it's controversial too. So,
well,
but I was very happy with.
We love controversy.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I do it. Oliver Stone's my favorite filmmaker, so I'm.
He's good. He's good, and you know what? He worked with John Williams.
Yes.
3 times.
Born on the 4th. What were the other two? I know Born on the 4th of July.
JFK and Nixon.
That's right, JFK. I'm dumb. I should have known JFK. That's the film that made me want to be a film director. Until I realized that I just wasn't one. I have more of a producer skill set. So, but yeah, JFK, that was the one where
Kevin Costner,
everybody, I mean, everybody's in that. Walter Matthau, Jack Lemmon have small roles, John Candy.
John Candy.
That closing speech, I mean, it's kind of eerie how relevant it is, even though he's talking about a president. The craziest thing for that film when we were talking about the Superman connection was my dad was the age when John Kennedy was killed that I was when the film came out. So almost like if you do the math, it's almost to like the date because our birthdays are a month apart. Mm-hmm. So he was like, so I remember my father, you know, giving me my dad. He let me see Born on the 4th of July because he wanted me to not ever spit on veterans. He said, you're going to see stuff in here you don't ever do to a veteran. I was 9 years old. And then with JFK, I remember him having this big, like, series. And my dad never gave me talks about movies, anything. And he just was like, I hope that you never in your lifetime experience what this film is and what you're going to see and what it's going to say.
Oh, it's very disturbing.
Yeah. And he said, but he told me, he said, if you do, don't just listen to what the government tells you, you know, research, have an opinion. And, you know, I'm 39 now and I can vividly remember him just giving me this whole, and then when I saw the film, just God, I think it's 16 different film stocks they use, and it's some people stay away from it because it's a 3-hour movie, but it's so well done. It wasn't going to win Best Picture. They weren't going to acknowledge the bullshit to it. Pardon me, Russell, if you didn't want that on the air, but that is one masterpiece of a film.
Yeah.
Why don't we just take a quick break and you can share some thoughts on Last Jedi, because I kind of like to...
During the break or after?
No, this is the break. You're talking about Last Jedi is the break.
The Last Jedi. Let's just put it this way. When I saw it the second time, I was happier. probably because I knew what was going to happen the second time, but the first time I saw it, I'm telling you, this is the first Star Wars film. What afterwards? It was a full house. There was no clapping. There was nothing after the film. I mean, people were leaving before the end credits were over.
Right.
And crickets, nothing. It's
right.
Like people are like, okay, kind of feeling.
Right.
You know. So it was very underwhelming the first time I saw it. The second time I, you know, saw more into it. Like for instance, the motif is failure and
right.
how to overcome it.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But it definitely is not, it's not our Star Wars. You know, when I say our,
right.
like,
the
it's not
original
George Lucas.
Right.
Even,
the trilogy,
it's
right.
even not the prequels. I meant, some people have told me they appreciate the prequels more now because of The Last Jedi. And it's not good.
Right.
But it's a very divisive film. And, you know, the way when I was doing my research, it turns out The Empire Strikes Back really divided audiences too back then.
You know, The Empire Strikes Back to me is the best one ever. My mind will never change. They'll never create an episode. That was just, to me,
I agree.
Such an episode. There's so many people that's their favorite. The question I have is that if you said, I didn't like I, Tonya, you wouldn't say the second time. So
well,
what
I
made you go back
seen,
the second?
I never seen I, Tonya.
No, I'm saying, I'm using it as an example.
Why? Because I always watch Star Wars films multiple times.
Oh,
but number
okay.
two, MoviePass.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
MoviePass is, well,
right.
I mean, you pay $10 a month, but
right.
you know, technically you can watch as many movies as you want.
Right.
You can spend hundreds of dollars for $10 a month.
Right.
So that's why. I needed to. I'm probably gonna see it one more time. Just, and I want to see it in 3D now. So,
okay.
The first time I saw it because I always watch a Star Wars film on opening. It's been a tradition.
Right.
And second time it's just, you know, take it in some more. Yeah, there's something. It's not on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics loved it. It's like 90%. The audience score 49%.
See, I'm...
That's
I'm,
worse than Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, oh, God, don't get me started on Attack of the Clones. I'll waste the rest of the show. The Last Jedi, basically, the only thing that frustrates me is that by now it's common knowledge that all the characters are gone. And the characters
you
that...
You spoiled it for some people.
Well, I mean, Carrie Fisher's physically gone.
Yeah.
And
four died in the last
one. Yeah, and some. So for me, because I was the first one I saw in the theater, I was 5, was Return of the Jedi. And then my whole life was my brother watching these films. I think he thought they were like Grapes of Wrath and Lawrence of Arabia. And so to me, what made us like Star Wars, I mean, it was like, okay, Force Awakens, Han Solo's gone. It's like he was my favorite character. So then it was like, okay, there's two more with no Han, and then now Princess Leia's gone. And then there's this big gaping hole that we'll just throw out into the universe because no one can ever, that I've asked about 10 people, no one can answer it, is that how did Luke become a master if all the Jedi teachers were gone?
Force ghosts?
Well, I don't see that. I still don't buy that. In my opinion, to become a master, you still need your trainer at jiu-jitsu. You don't need the ghost of the jiu-jitsu guy in the gym. And I can take that Force Ghost, not against you, against the way they play it. And the other thing that's always bugged me is, as a world, we act like George Lucas invented we turn into our mentors. And I think that's just common sense. I think that's why mentors mentor us, because we were them 30 years ago. And then there's a point where they say, we're not your mentor. You're going to go off and you're going to screw up or you're going to succeed. And not just the kind of flaw I had. I can't say what my biggest flaw is because it would be a complete spoiler, but I will go when it comes out, maybe to Prime or if I do get Movie Pass. I was fortunate to see, you know, Disaster Artist and I, Tonya, and get all that stuff out of the way. But so with your films, is there anything else that you would like to discuss, promote, get out to people that,
well,
any websites, social media?
Yeah, you know, you go to russem.com or russem.com. You can see all the links to every, technically, no, every film that I've directed. You can go to occupantsthemovie.com for Occupants, which, again, there's a link on my site, whisperproject.com. We have links to Facebook. You just go to my site, you go to Occupants or Whisper site. And trust me, they're all there, so they all link together. And I will be directing again next month.
Oh.
And in New York. I already booked my ticket. And again, it's with Howard Nash. And we're doing these sets of comical episodes of this show called The Meeting. And we did two a couple of years ago, but now we're doing two more. And we're going to be shooting that on February 18th, I think. Yes. So I fly in on the 16th. I leave on the 19th. You know. So after our after this,
right.
Yesterday I was dealing with Whisper, right?
Right.
And I was prepping materials for two upcoming festivals for Occupants, which correct me if I'm saying this name wrong, Las Cruces.
Las Cruces, no, good
yeah,
old Las Cruces.
Really, really wonderful festival. And you know,
that's what I've heard.
We've had some other
guests that have been in it. So.
This film, remember, Occupants has been out for 2 years, and it's still getting in after 2 years.
It's
testament to this film and to the crew and to the cast. I mean, it just makes me so happy. At Flagler, by the way, they awarded me the best director of a feature film just a couple of days ago.
Okay.
And it's just like, whoa, you know, like, really? Seriously?
Right.
Me?
You know, and you were in Biloxi.
You know, I was in Biloxi for the, what's it called? The Southern Indie Fan Film Fest for Collar. And then we're going to, I mentioned Idlewild and what was the other one? Bare Bones Film Festival in Oklahoma.
Right.
Like, Muskogee, I think it's called.
Muskogee.
You see, I am so bad with name.
Well, no, because there's a partial racial slur, but I can say it because my dad's from the Midwest, where they call you an Okie from Muskogee.
Ah.
And it just means you're from the middle of nowhere, and I would not say it if my dad wasn't from the Midwest and didn't act like one sometimes.
Hey, where did Superman grow up?
Oh, I forget the name.
He's in Smallville.
Oh, that's right. That's
he grew
right.
Up in a neighboring state in Oklahoma.
That's right.
A great place.
And he moved to New York. So what does that tell you?
To New York. Not at New York. It's Metropolis.
That's true. It's Metropolis.
Metropolis.
That's right. It just looks like Manhattan.
It looks just like Manhattan.
That's right. It's
Metropolis.
Metropolis.
So we're doing a meeting. That's why I mentioned that.
Right.
Getting back to whatever else I want to talk about. I guess it's we're doing. I'm directing again in February. So that is something I'm going to be prepping now that I was able to deal with. Because when you get in a film festival, you have to send them material.
Oh, of course.
You have to prep
right.
it. You have
right.
to prep all this stuff. You know,
right.
they ask you for files, DCP. Sometimes, like, I just finished for a Brazilian film festival that's coming up. I had a subtitle, Occupants, 81-minute film, 1,309 lines. And it had to be put onto the film, not an SRT. SRT is the subtitles
right.
File. So we had the translation in Portuguese.
Right.
And I used a company called Rev.
Right.
And it's a really good company, recommended by Julia Camera, our writer.
Right.
Really wonderful woman of Occupants. And shout out to you, Julia, member of the Writer's Guild. So she's incredible.
Oh, excellent.
But Yeah, I mean, you have to do this. You have to. That's the downside of getting into
it. Right, right.
You know, you have to give them all this material. So I was dealing with that. Then I switched to Whisper because we had to get the notes for the second cut to the editor.
Right.
So that we can, you know, lock picture. And it's close to locking. It'll be a 91-minute film. And it's really, he's Emil Harris. Not Emil Harris.
I know.
Harris is really, really good. So I dealt with that. Now I'm moving on to the meeting.
Right, okay.
Because I have to prepare, and you've directed before.
Yeah.
So you have to do a shot list. You
right.
have to contact the cast, the crew, get everybody in sync. I'm going to be talking to our DP for that, Omar Portilla, who was our first AC on Whisper.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk to him next week. But I have to prepare all this stuff, you know.
Yeah, no,
so,
it's bananas yeah. for people that have never worked in the film business. I'm fortunate that I had 5 or 6 films in lots of festivals, but that was the day where you just sent a bio, a poster, and I think it was still a mini DV tape or a beta copy.
Oh, beta.
And this was before
beta.
This was before HD. I mean, I've had festivals in the last couple of years, but
Digi beta.
Yes.
I used a company called Point360.
Yeah.
I don't know if you did that.
No. This was in Hawaii and Vancouver, and it was. I mean, I've had a good almost 10 films in multiple festivals, and as a producer, there was just not now when I hear like what you were just explaining, how much to go through, and it was kind of more of a because the film had taken off and got distribution, and it was more of the like all of a sudden it was the director's show,
yeah. Well,
you know, like the director kind of now all of a sudden he doesn't need you to be the producer because he needs the attention, not saying you. I'm saying, but in my experience, that's what I lived.
Let's put it this way: the reason I'm happy that we're winning the awards or getting the festivals is because it helps for future films. Because our investors, and we have investors, they look at what we've done,
right.
and they're happy. They right. are happy. If they're happy, I'm happy
right.
because you know it means that they can get you know a return on their investment,
right.
and that's why I am so happy with a film like Occupants getting, you know, what it has done. It just makes it that much more viable, I guess.
Right. Well, and it's actually good. Like, I have a couple of things on Prime, but you'd have to pay me to tell you what they are. Because mm-hmm. there's such B-movie, schlock, action, horror. And Russell was making a good point about investors was that I remember someone told me, and I don't know if it's still, I'm sure it still stands to some degree. They said, some people don't care about the quality. They just care that you're on the shelf at Blockbuster because it's almost like you got a movie into stores when there was stores. Like I always said, if I had a movie in Hollywood Video, which I did nationwide and video stores closed, does that mean I never had a national release? That is also on Amazon Prime, and now
it's Walmart.
Yeah, right.
It's on Walmart.
Yeah, it's Walmart. And my other movies on Prime are on Target.com and Walmart.com, and one actually that one that we did it on with a company on the Universal lot. So it was like totally this surreal experience to like get through the gate and you're a producer.
Not
and
Focus.
No. This was a long time ago.
Oh. Okay.
And flash forward, it was 2004 or 5. Flash forward like 3 years. Blockbuster's closing down and I'm going through the $1.99 box and I find my movie.
Nice.
And
nice.
I'm thinking nice. All these years of work and all the time and energy. And it's in the $1.99 get rid of it box. And I was with my best friend of 24 years. And he said, you know what? Just be glad you're in Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Because there's thousands of guys outside the door who have nothing in Blockbuster and will never say they had something in Blockbuster. And so I kind of took it as that. He told me to buy it. I refused to pay $2 for my own movie. But I should have bought it. But, So, that was I guess we're going to hit a point where it's way back when there was video stores, but I actually have four things on Prime. I'm just so used to not telling people what they are. That...
Well, you got to tell me after.
Yeah,
I'm going to go watch it.
I know.
For me, making a film is, you know, I just love it. I love it so much. The music especially, you know, I can listen to that old crate. I mentioned that cue over and over and over again. That's one thing about my mentality. It's like, I'm a perfectionist and I just keep, you know. I think it's like ADHD or something.
But,
I'm sure I am.
I call it movie OCD.
There you go. Movie OCD. You probably have it. I have it.
Yeah.
But it's entertainment, right?
Right.
So what I really hope is if you watch Occupants, BJ, you know, Nathaya or Chains of Green, hopefully Whisper, you're entertained.
Right.
So for Occupants, 81-minute film, for 81 minutes of your life, if you're like had a stressful day or, you know, you just need to take a break, I just hope for those 81 minutes that you are entertained.
Right.
Just like, you know, people back in the 30s and the 40s during the Great Depression era.
Right.
They wanted to escape from it all, go into a movie theater, which had air conditioning, which was very new at that time.
Right.
And for those 2 hours or whatever, you know, 80 minutes, 90 minutes, you could just escape from the world. Escape.
Right.
Escape the spirit. I think that's what they call it,
right?
For films.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want people to be entertained, and I hope they are.
Well, you know, it's as you were saying that, the first film that I directed is now on Wikipedia. I don't know how this is getting so much attention.
Oh, that is cool.
What was funny about it was that people would come up to me and say they didn't enjoy it, but the director intended to make a B action movie. So I think that was why it did well, because it wasn't like he set off to make a great action movie. He wanted it to be, like you're saying, he wanted you to have a corny experience. And
kind of like, I just saw this, Kung Fury.
Right.
Did you see Kung
Fury?
No,
I've never seen that part of it.
They purposely made it look like it was from the 80s VHS tape. So that, you know, it had those, you know, weird squiggly lines and all that, like the tape is so worn out.
Right.
They purposely did that.
Oh,
and guess what? It works.
Right.
And it works well.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because after I had many conversations with people being like, how are you winning the Hawaii International Film Festival and how are you playing in different countries? And then I just said to the director and he said, I intended every moment. And so what was kind of funny was then it was almost like he did a great job because he set out, you know, the intention, and like you're saying, escape, just to jump back to Lady Bird real quick, with all that surrounding around that, it's really a film that just should be escaped. You should use it as an escape from the stuff that it's causing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's kind of ironic about it, is that it's people are forgetting that aspect. And forgetting that there's all these other films and that this is the time, you know, this is like our movie Super Bowl. We look forward to, we know that from November to January, that's when we get the great films. And that's when we get the films that we remember. And, you know, we don't get a long football season or a long baseball season. And we're lucky if we get 10 films that are, you know, wow, that really floored me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's been kind of ironic. And the last thing I'm going to say is on Lady Bird is this. I'm just hoping, I've had this joke. Not many people have liked it, but I have a feeling like it's going to turn the Oscars into like the Republican National Convention. And no offense if you're a Republican, anyone. But I hope that we can get back to by March. I think it's March 4th. We can get back to remembering, you know, why we like movies and why we talk about movies and why we go see them. And then it's, I mean, I'm from Hawaii, and what was it, a couple of days ago, somebody hit the warning button.
Oh, yeah, that must have freaked a lot. Yeah,
all kinds of, I have 75% of people that I know on this planet live in Hawaii, and they were told that a ballistic missile was coming, And in my opinion right now, what's her last name? Greta? I just pronounced it wrong. Greta Gerwig?
I think it's
Yeah, Gerwig. I guarantee if she walked in the room right now, she would say that's more important than that she didn't get a Best Director nomination. Because to have the compassion to make a film Lady Bird, I mean, any human probably cares that Hawaii was going to get blown up. So I've been kind of living in this world where my friends are hearing Cold War sirens and they're hearing nuclear sirens. And to me, that kind of is like a trump card on the blackjack table of, are we really arguing about Natalie Portman? Like, and so I'll leave it at that. And once again, Russell, if you could just mention all the social media so people get that in.
Sure. It's www.russem.com, RUSSEM.com. It's a combination of my first and last name, Russell Emanuel. And on there, you can see all the films I've done from Girl with Gun, PJ, Chasing the Green, The Legends of Nathaya, Occupants, The Assassin's Apprentice, Whisper, Collar. It's all there. And there's more films, but you can see all that. And then there's links to Twitter, to Facebook, to Instagram, if you want to follow. But it's all there. You go to like occupantsthemovie.com, you'll see all the links there. So, yeah. And, you know, I just hope people, you know, got something out of this. I guess, was it like a 50-minute interview?
Yeah, 50-minute,
so I hope you were entertained.
Yeah, right.
And I want to thank you, Paul, for having me on again. Live.
Yes, live in the studio.
It's very surreal, so I just want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you. No, we appreciate it. This was an idea that just hit me, and Russell was up for it. Today was, I will just say this, today was probably the day I was the most unprofessional I've ever been. I was like a little bit late, and I'm like this, I'm totally my grandma. My grandma's like, if you're going to do anything, be on time or just don't do it. And so my grandma would be smacking me today. I'm not going to say I'm glad she's gone, but if she could come back, she would definitely have my head. And we do this for her, especially I want to close and then I'll let Russell close. You know, we do this, we've had so many female guests, and part of the reason why I talk about Lady Bird is because my grandmother was really, really into film history, and she was in the generation where it wasn't just that there was 10%, and I don't think this condones it, again, don't misread me here. She was in the generation where there was no chance for women, and you know, she wanted to be a film historian and didn't get to pursue that. So everything that I get to do goes through her. And this show is kind of for her because she was about people and different films from different places and just bringing people together. So this studio, we are appreciative to have someone in here, and well, Russell, and we thank him for being the inaugural guest. That's going to do it for me at Talking Pictures. I'll let Russell close if he has anything else to say, but thank you so much for joining us.
Well, again, thank you, Paul, for having me on in the inaugural live show, which is kind of neat. I want to give a shout out to my parents, Charles and Akemi Emanuel. I mean, they're very supportive of my career, and I don't think I would be here without them. I want to give a shout out to just recently passed Charlie the dog. Was my first dog ever, because when I was growing up, I had allergies, and they did have a dog, but they had to get rid of that dog because of my allergies. So basically, when I moved out, and my brother Kenneth, shout out to him, moved out. My brother Chris has already been moved out. They were able to get a dog, Charlie. And that was back in 2004. And, you know, I visited all the time, and, you know, for a period of time I lived there too. So I considered him my first dog. And yeah, he just passed on December 28th. So shout out to him, you know, in doggy heaven. And just, thank you, you know, to people like Harris, to Howard, to Troy. To Paul, just to Bob Picardo, to just everybody who's, you know, just been out there, to people who are listening, to people who just watch my films or just are just supportive, like people like you, Paul, you know, just to have me on. So, yeah, thank you so much.
I'm just going to close with a second close, was that that was the third thing where there's just been kind of like a spiritual chime, where that was another saying of my grandma's, was the easiest thing to do in the world is say thank you. So I'm going to leave it on my grandma's soapbox. You guys have a wonderful day. And no matter what you do, I don't care how busy you are, make sure and watch a good movie.
Falling down the stairs and breaking your ankle doesn't sound good. But falling down the stairs and breaking your ankle with no health insurance sounds even worse. Life can change in an instant. Be covered when it does. At Covered California, we can help you get financial help to pay for your health plan. Covered California, it's more than just health care. It's life care. Visit coveredca.com today. Open enrollment ends January 31st.